I'm excited tonight to continue our series on prayer. And man, God has been doing some great things through this series, and I'm excited. It's let us pray. Let us pray. God is calling us to place in prayer. And how many of you have noticed that your prayer life has increased in some way since that we started this series? There's been some help for you there. Somebody wave at me. All right. So I'm telling you, man, God is doing good things. We're just gonna jump right into right where we were, and we're talking about prayer, and we're using the scripture where Jesus, his disciples came to him one day and said, "Jesus, teach us to pray. And show us what how to pray." And Jesus said, "When you pray, pray in this manner." And he gave him a pattern to pray. And we've been looking at these things, and we've been talking about it. And it's found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 15 is where you can find the Lord's Prayer. And that's where we're going to jump to. So if you want to have, if you have your Bibles, you can open them there to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to just jump right into where we were. If you remember, we talked about seven keys in the Lord's Prayer, and so far we've made it through a few of them. The first one that we talked about is, "He is my Father and He is holy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." He is our Father and He is holy. And we talked a little bit about the name of God and what He means and what He represents, the character that God is. And when you know who God is, you know how to pray. My kids know who I am as a father, and so they know they can come to me and count on me to do certain things because I am their father. We know who God is, and so we can count on Him that when we ask for Him, when we call on His name, that He will respond in a certain way because that is who He is. He is a healer. He is deliverer. He's our shepherd. He's our king. When we know who He is, we can worship Him. We can pray to Him effectively. How many want your prayers to be effective? How many want effective prayer? The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman makes much power available. And I believe that God wants your power to flow through your prayers. How many of you are tired of weak prayers, prayers that get nowhere, prayers that you feel like hit the ceiling and drop down? Has anybody ever felt that way? You feel like you just can't seem to get beyond a place in life in your prayer? See, listen, if you want your spiritual life to come up, and I hope that you do, and I know that you're here because you do, but if you want your spiritual life to come up, your prayer life needs to come up. Your prayer life needs to come up. So the first key in the Lord's Prayer is, "He is my Father and He is holy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The second key is, "God is in charge, not me." That is, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we talked a little bit about God's priorities in our life and God's purpose in our life and God's strategies in our life and His plans. And so we have to come into agreement with that. We have to believe and trust God with what He says of us already. And I'm not going to hang on this too long because we've preached it already. And the next thing is, "God is my provider." So this is point three. This is where we're going to pick up. This is where we're going to jump right into the scripture. God is my provider. So the third key in the Lord's Prayer is, "God is my provider." So if you're taking notes, write that down. God is my provider. And you can find that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. It says, "Give us this day our daily bread." This is the scripture. "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, I want to talk a little bit about God's provision in our life, but there is a principle here that I believe God is trying to hone in on us and teach us here in this passage of Scripture. And that principle is this: He is looking for us to trust Him. It's all about trust. Say that. It's all about trust. God desires for us to trust Him. To trust Him. God desires us to trust Him. He wants us to get past believing and relying on our own strength, but we have to trust Him. And so this part of the prayer, I believe God was teaching us through His scripture that we got to learn to trust Him more than we have before. We have to learn to trust Him. And so it's real easy to trust your job, or trust your wisdom, or trust your good looks, or trust your positive attitude. It's good. It's easy to trust our own strength. It's easy just to believe, well, I can do it. I've got the strength. I've got the ability. Or for a lot of people, they trust in their job. They think their job is their provider. And that job is what's going to provide for them. It's what's going to take care of them. It's their job. And they trust their job. Or some people, they trust the government. They just trust the government, that the government's going to provide and going to take care of them. And they put their trust in the government. Some of you put your trust completely in your own strength and what you can do and what you can accomplish. But I believe this part of the prayer, Jesus was teaching his disciples, you must learn to trust God. We must learn to trust God. We must learn to trust God. Let me have Toby, can you volunteer for a second? You're volunteered. Now, how many of you have ever seen the trust fall? You know what the trust fall is, right? He knows what that is. Turn around that way. Put your arms out, like to the side, like that. There you go. Now, I'm going to ask him to fall, and I'm going to catch him. But make sure don't fall yet. I got to put the mic down. All right? And I'm going to catch him. But don't look and don't bend your knees. Just trust that you know I'm your father, right? I don't want you to be injured because I'm going to have to pay for that. So I want you to be ready. And when I say three, I want you to fall. You ready? It's the trust fall. Now, why is it that my son would trust me that I was not going to let him hit the ground? Because I don't want him to, I don't want to pay for the injuries, but I don't want him to really be hurt, right? I don't want him to be injured because I love him. He's my son. And he has to learn to trust me to know that I'm going to. How many of you have ever tried that and I just can't trust you. I don't know. And you bend your knees and you know, you've experienced that, right? And it takes a little bit of practice to know that that person can catch you and they're going to take care of you, you know, because, you know, he's a stocky young man. I might not be able to catch him, you know. But listen, this is what God has called us to be. Listen, God has called us to be people who trust him completely. Listen, God has called us to be people that trust him even when we can't see the next step we must take. We got to learn to trust him even when we can't understand the provision for this day. We got to learn to trust him when we can't understand what the next step is. We have to trust God. We have to trust him. So I want to ask you this question. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? Do you trust him? See, what happens is we put ourselves in the place of God. We trust ourselves. I trust my own strength. I trust my ability to provide for myself. I trust my job. I trust my finances, my income. I trust that. And so God, so when you do that, you put your place, you in the place of God. You put yourself in God's position. When you rely on your own strength and your own power and your own job and whatever. See, there's an example of this in the Bible in Exodus chapter 16. And we don't have time to read the whole thing, but what happens is God was feeding the children of Israel manna from heaven. He was literally dropping manna like this bread from heaven every day to provide for them for a meal, for something for them to eat. But he told them, he said, look, only get enough for you for one day. And then at the end of the week, go ahead and get enough for 2 days. That way on the Sabbath day, you can rest. And so, but here's what happened. In verse 16, what happened is some people went out even after the next day, after they'd already gathered it, they went out and they looked for more, and then there was nothing there. There was no provision. There was nothing there. Why? Because God said, I want you to only get what I told you to get. This is me providing for you. He was looking for the children of Israel to trust him each and every day. And because these people had such a hard time trusting God, he just made it optional. He said, look, if you're going to try to gather on the wrong day, then you're not going to receive any of that. Some of you need to learn the principle of rest. You need to take a day off. You need on Sundays or whatever it is, you're constantly doing too much. God says, I will provide for you. I will provide for you. I will provide for you. So the principle here is we trust God. He is my provider. Give us this day our daily bread, we say. That is our prayer. That's our heart. So we say, God, I trust you that you will supply all that I need. I don't lean on anything that I have or my comfort, my own strength, my own job, but I trust in you. That's our prayer. That's how we pray. That is what Jesus was trying to describe to his disciples that day, is you have to learn to trust God daily. It's a daily exercise. It has to be done daily. Because listen, our stuff, our jobs, our money, anything, all of that can be gone overnight. Most of you are too young to remember, but about 18 years ago, 19 years ago, there was a flourishing business here in Camden, and it was the paper mill, and it was a big-time business. I'm talking about people that had been there for 20 and 30 years that had worked that paper mill, and they, you know, they'd been there for years, and that job was their, you know, their income, and then out of nowhere, they shut the plant down. No more paper mill. Hundreds of people lost their jobs. Some of these people that had been working for years and years, they had put their trust in that paper mill. I had to make some changes. And it was a big, shocking eye-opener for a lot of them. But see, when you trust in God, it doesn't matter what happens in the world. It doesn't matter what happens at your job. It doesn't matter what happens in your bank account. All that matters is God will provide for me and I will trust Him. Do you understand that when you begin to understand that God is your provision and not you and not your job, then you can walk in freedom. And there's such a burden that's lifted. There's such an easy thing. See, when my wife and I, when we moved to this place so many years ago now, when we moved here, we had job things and things lined up, and it was all a schedule what we're going to be doing. And the day that we got here, that next Sunday that we got here, everything fell apart. All of that went away, and there was nothing. And we were left standing like, okay, God, so what you got for us? And we had to trust Him. Because I know that God will never leave me, never forsake me. He's always provided for me, and He will always provide for you. So I had no fear, no worry, no anxiety, because I know God's going to take care of me. That's what He desires to do for me, and that's what He desires to do for you. But you have to be careful. Look, because see, what happens is, for a lot of us, we begin to trust in our bank accounts. You know, we got a little money backed up. We got a little bit of savings. We got a little bit of this. And we get a little bit comfortable in what we've got. And this happened to King David one time. He decided he was going to count his men. This is in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. David decided he wanted to count his men, his mighty men. He was going to count his army up, see how many men he's got. He said, we got a big army. We can take care of things. And one of the people around him said, I wouldn't do that. And God said, don't do that. And he did anyway, and he counted his arm and he counted his strength, and he was like, yeah, we got a lot going on right here. We got this. We can handle whatever comes our way. And the next battle went through. There was a sickness, there was a disease that came through, and 70,000 of his men died, lost their lives. What is God trying to teach us from this principle? We don't look at our bank accounts and say, well, we're comfortable now. We don't need you, God. That's what David did. He looked at his men and said, God, we got this. I got this. I got some good men. I've got some trained men. We don't need your help. And see, that's where God says, wait a minute now. I am the supply that you need. I am the whole of your bank account. I am the whole of your job. I am the provider for those things. And so when we learn to know who is our provider, and we praise Him in these prayers, and we pray, God, you are providing for me, for my family, for my future, for my purpose, for everything. You are my provider. And I don't look to see what I have in my bank account, or I don't look to see what I have or what I've attained, God, because all of it's yours. All of it is yours. If you find that you worry often about the things that you need, it's time to begin to pray a different way. A prayer of trust. A prayer of faith. If you find that you worry about what you need often, it's time for you to begin to pray a prayer of trust and a prayer of faith. Some of you need to hear that. You worry often about what you need. You worry about what you got to have. And I'm not talking about fancy clothes. I'm talking about food. And I'm talking about provision. And I'm talking about finances. And I'm talking about the necessities. You worry about those things. God says, don't worry about those things because I have provided for you. Don't worry. He says, I know what you need. The Bible says that He knows what you need before you even ask. He knows what you need, and He will provide for you more than what you need. Listen, Psalms chapter 34, verse 10. I love this chapter. I love this verse. 34 verse 10, it says, even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Even lions will go hungry sometimes, but those that trust in the Lord will lack for no good thing. First, that's Psalm chapter 34, verse 10. God is looking for a heart. Somebody say, my heart. God is looking for my heart to trust Him. God is looking for my heart to trust Him. We trust you, God. We trust you, God. So better than praying our list of demands to God, you know, for all the things we need. God, all right, God, I need this, I need this. If you don't mind taking care of the food, the money, the things, God, instead of downloading God a list of things we need, Instead of doing that, what if maybe just possibly we were to download and we begin to pray for something different? So we don't pray out of our desperate need, because He is our provider, but we pray out of a desperate need for Him. We pray out of a desperation for God rather than a desperation for our need to be supplied. And when you cry out to God, a desperation for Him, when you find Him, when you draw near to Him, when you get close to Him, your needs are provided for. And you become less worried about those things that have to take place, and you begin to trust Him even more. Remember, He is our Father. He knows what we need before we even ask that. We talked about that last week. He knows what you need. He's going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you. Write this down if you're taking notes. We do not have a poverty mindset. We do not have a poverty mindset. It's so easy to get stuck in a rut of I'm poor, and I'm going to be poor, I'm going to stay poor. And that's the next thing I wanted to say to you. We have to keep our mouths right as well. We don't live in a poverty mindset, and we don't have a poor mouth. You have to let your tongue agree with God's plans and not the enemy's plans. When you agree with the enemy's plans, you open the door to the enemy and open the door to poverty. So if you walk around and say, well, my parents are poor, and I'm just going to live poor. This is the way it is. I'm not going to have money to do that. I'm not going to have provision for this. I guess I'm not going to eat today. I guess if you begin to agree with the poverty in your life, then you're going to just stay there. But I'm telling you, if you begin to say, I am provided for because I am a part of His kingdom, a part of His plan, I am a son and daughter of Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, that we are heirs through Christ Jesus. We're joint heirs. That means that we have been brought into His family, into His kingdom. And because of that, Psalms chapter 50, verse 10, the Lord says, I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. Our Father has the provision for you. He has it prepared for you. I'm telling you guys, listen, man, don't get in that mindset of you're just going to live in lack. Because I'm telling you, God has provision for you. He will provide for you. He will do it. Knowing who we are in God and knowing all of what He has done and all of what He wants to do, our prayers say this: God, we trust You. God, we trust You. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day, God. Our provision is found in You. I trust You. Close your eyes if you would. Do you struggle sometimes with trusting the Lord? Trusting Him for just even some of the basic things. You go through seasons where you worry, and you feel like in some areas that you've kind of got, you're not really trusting God in those areas. Or maybe you're in this room and you feel like in a lot of ways you've got it going on. You've got your own strength, your own smarts, your own talents, your own abilities, and you feel like that you can handle it on your own. And maybe you're kind of like those Israelites that said, well, I don't really need, I'm just going to go ahead and gather something extra. Or maybe you're a little bit like David, who counted his men and said, I've got this. I don't need Your help, God. I want to pray for you today, because I believe that there's many of us in this room that we have to learn to trust Him more than we ever have before. Because I'm telling you, we're coming into a season where things are going to be shaken. And whether or not you trust God, you will find out what the real thing is inside of you. When things begin to get shaken, that's when you find out what's really inside. And so, listen, I want to pray for you. So if that's you in this room, you say, Pastor, that's me. I worry sometimes about the provision. Or maybe you're on the opposite end of that spectrum. You just feel like you've got it going on. You don't need God. Or maybe you felt that way. I want to pray for you. Just lift your hand right there where you sit. We're going to pray together. Father, we thank You. Why don't you stand with me tonight? We're going to pray and release. Father, we thank You that tonight, that as we pray and as we learn to pray, God, we know that You provide for our needs daily. God, it's not our strength that we rely on. It's not our own wisdom. It's not our own talents or abilities, God, because we know it all comes from You. And God, that provision is born from You and is built in You and it is birthed in You. And we thank You, Lord, that that provision comes out and to us through You, God. And so why would we even try to take it on our own strength? Forgive us, God, for trying to do it on our own. God, we desire to trust You. Give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' name, amen.